Here we are, bear with me. The next case on the call is Rose versus American Family Insurance, 22898. Counsel, you can approach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Eric Chandler. I am the attorney for the plaintiff appellant in this matter, Teresa Rose. And I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, if that's possible. This is an appeal from the District Court of Douglas County's granting of a motion for summary judgment. The case, as I'm sure the court is aware, has to do with, basically boils down to a 2-year contractual limitation of actions that was contained in a policy of insurance. And there was an underinsured motorist claim made by Ms. Rose. Her claim was made within the relevant statute of limitations. The defendant, appellee, American Family, filed a motion for summary judgment based on the 2-year contractual limitation of actions, and the district court granted the motion for summary judgment. The district court erred in a number of ways, but ultimately the issue in this case is there's just no conflict. Essentially, the entire order by the district court, and many times in the briefing of this case, there's been many references to conflicts of law, but in this case, there is no conflict. The first issue has to do with the fact that I'm in front of the Nebraska Supreme Court, and this is a Nebraska case that was filed in Nebraska. Typically, statute of limitations in Nebraska is procedural. It's been that way for a long time, especially since the adoption of the Restatement Second, Conflict of Laws. There's allusion to the borrowing statute. Nebraska does have a borrowing statute, which I believe was enacted in 2006. It is Nebraska Revised Statute 25-3203. That statute's only relevant when there is a conflict between varying state statute limitations in a case. Essentially, the entire purpose of that statute was to protect Nebraskans. Essentially, what the legislature was trying to do is they were saying, okay, we want to give Nebraska residents the benefit of our statute, but we don't want people forum shopping and coming in here and suing Nebraska businesses or suing Nebraska residents when there's potentially another statute of limitations that could be relevant that would be shorter. That's why that statute exists. In this case, it's borderline irrelevant because this is a breach of contract action. Now, it's different because it's an underinsured motorist claim, so it also sounds in tort. Another point that I'll get to later is UIM claims are typically different than almost any other insurance claim there is. But that statute would only be relevant if Iowa had a shorter statute of limitations than Nebraska, and it doesn't. It has a 10-year statute of limitations. Nebraska has a 5-year statute of limitations. This cause of action was filed roughly 2.5 years after the date of loss of the motor vehicle crash for which Ms. Rose's injuries stem from.
But your argument doesn't sound at all reminiscent of the trial court's order. So where did the trial court go wrong?
I think, with all due respect to the trial court, I believe they just got everything completely wrong. Many of the arguments weren't even addressed. So essentially what the trial court did is they performed a conflict of law analysis, ignoring the difference between whether or not statute of limitations is procedural versus substantive. So that's one issue, is there's a difference between choice of law, there's a difference between choice of forum. And conflict of law and choice of law typically has to do with substantive law. Historically, and I would argue still, statute of limitations is a procedural matter. The district court never even addressed that. They went straight into a conflict of law analysis. In performing their conflict of law analysis, then they did a conflict of law analysis based on it being a breach of contract claim and said, okay, well, the contract was entered into in Iowa. The vehicle that the underinsured motorist coverage was tied to was garaged in Iowa. At the time of the crash, Ms. Rose was living in Iowa. Okay, we believe there's more ties to Iowa than Nebraska. And we wouldn't concede that point. First of all, I want to make clear I would not concede that because, again, this is a UIM claim. and the crash happened in Nebraska. The rights of Ms. Rose in the breach of contract action stem back to the insurance company stepping into the shoes of the tortfeasor. But that's what the district court did, is they did purely a conflict of law analysis, and then they said, okay, well, while Nebraska does not allow contractual limitations of actions that would shorten the period of the statute of limitations, Iowa law historically has on UIM claims. Therefore, we will enforce the two-year contractual limitation, and this case is dismissed. That was wrong, I believe, for at least two reasons, if not more. But the first is what I just went through with the flaw in the analysis of getting there in the first place. The second place where the court was wrong was essentially they took and ran with American Family's argument that there is a de facto two-year contractual limitation of actions in UIM claims is acceptable, and that's not the law in Iowa.
What does the policy language in this case with respect to any limitation periods on filing a claim against the carrier for underinsured motorist coverage?
The policy language is that any claim must be filed within 2 years of the date of the crash. That is in the policy.
And that's where the trial court began.
Yes.
Thank you.
And
now this vehicle wasn't involved in the accident in Nebraska.
That is correct.
Does that have any bearing?
No, because in this policy, and that aside from that not being raised or not an issue with the court, in this policy as well as many other underinsured motorist policies, there is separate coverage provided, which will, the underinsured motorist coverage essentially protects people, references, insureds within the policy, which is typically a household relative in this case.
Because your client lived with the owner of the vehicle that had underinsured motor coverage, she should have the right to go forward.
That is correct. The district court, and getting back to your question, Justice Mr. Miller-Lerman, is the court, when going past the issues I've already raised, then when they did their analysis, they just looked at the case law and said, okay, 2 years, they have a 2 year contractual limitation of actions. 2 years is acceptable. This was at 2.5 years or 2 years, 7 months, case dismissed. And that is also incorrect because there's also no conflict there. Essentially, before there can be a conflict of law analysis, there has to be a conflict of the actual laws between the states and their application to the facts at hand.
Is there a conflict as to whether a contractual limitation, a contractual time limitation is enforceable? I mean, it seems like you've conceded there is. It seems like you're arguing Nebraska won't enforce a contractual limitation on an underinsured motorist policy, and Iowa will.
There is a difference in the states in the sense that
that sounds like a conflict.
But it's not a conflict on our facts in the sense that the Iowa law doesn't say that a 2 year limitation is de facto okay. What Iowa law says is we will allow you to contract below the 10 year statutory period if it's reasonable under the circumstances.
Does Nebraska allow you to do that?
Nebraska does not allow you to do that.
Did the Robinson case in Iowa say 2 years is okay and underinsured?
Under those circumstances. But what the Robinson case also stated repeatedly, I think, Justice Patrick, I guess what I'm getting at is I'm arguing in this case there's not a conflict because I would argue that if you were to apply Iowa law, you would still come to the same result because of the reasonableness under the circumstances.
You're arguing it's unreasonable under the circumstances.
Yes, and so why the law differs, I don't think there's actually a conflict because I think if you apply Iowa law, what Iowa law is, and under the Robinson v. Allied case, it says over and over again, as referenced not only in our brief, but I saw the amicus brief filed on behalf of the Nebraska Association of Trial Attorneys, the reason that the two-year time period was upheld and the reason you see it so often in the Iowa cases is because the Iowa statute of limitations for pursuing the tortfeasor is 2 years.
And if we disagree with you that this would be unenforceable under Iowa law, where does that leave us?
I would argue that it's still an issue of, well, I guess my first question would be, I'd have to ask So you're saying if you were to disagree with me as to whether it would be unenforceable under Iowa law, under the Robinson case, I just don't see how it could be. I don't even know how to respond to that in the sense of...
Now you're fighting the hypothetical.
Yeah, I mean...
I'd like your answer engaging with the hypothetical.
You still have a Nebraska case filed under Nebraska. You don't have a conflict to the statute of limitations in the first place. The case is filed in Nebraska. Because there's no conflict amongst the state statute of limitations, you have to look to Nebraska law to determine any other issues that would affect the statute of limitations, because the statute of limitations is procedural. And so then I would argue you still get back to the same place. And then that doesn't even address the other arguments.
So is the statute of limitations in this case Nebraska's 4-year statute of limitations or Iowa's 10-year statute of limitations?
The statute of limitations in this case should be Nebraska's 5-year statute of limitations.
5 years.
And then if you were to apply, if the case... All the references to 4 years have to do with the fact that, again, it's an underinsured motorist claim. It's different. This isn't someone's house that burned down. This is a claim that the insurance carrier steps into the shoes of the insurance company, or of the tortfeasor. And the whole point is you can't have, in the Robinson v. Allied court says this over and over again, you can't grant the plaintiff or the insured less rights against the insurance company than they would have had against the underlying tortfeasor. And if you allow a statute of limitations to be reduced below the time period in which you have to pursue the tortfeasor, that's exactly what you're doing. You're granting less rights. So with that.
Other questions from the bench? Good?
Thank you.
Thank you. So I think we went a little bit long here. Can you give Mr. Bacon another minute, please?
May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Joel Bacon. I represent the Appalee American Family Insurance Company. This is an Iowa insurance policy. The named insured, Ms. Rose's sister, lived in Iowa. If Ms. Rose is covered, it's because she lived in Iowa with her sister. The vehicle that the policy covered was principally garaged in Iowa. The agent lived in Iowa. The Iowa Department of Insurance regulated this policy. This is an Iowa insurance policy. So that leads to a two-step inquiry, because we're dealing with this 2-year limitation that requires a claim be brought within 2 years from the date of accident. So the first step is, would Iowa enforce this provision? The answer to that is yes. The second step of the inquiry is, there's something about Nebraska choice of law principles that would indicate Nebraska would not enforce it for some reason. With respect to that first question on Iowa law, one thing, a little bit of context. So Iowa has a long statute of limitations for breach of contract claims. It's 10 years, so it's twice as long as what you get in Nebraska. And that applies to UIM claims in Iowa. Iowa recognizes that's a long time period, and says for insurance companies to create, and their insureds to create predictability with these types of claims, we're going to allow a modification of that. You can contractually modify it. The hallmark is reasonableness. And when we talk about reasonableness, the question is, does the policy give the insured enough time to be able to investigate and bring their claim? That's what we're after. On at least 2, and really 3 separate occasions, the Iowa Supreme Court has given its blessing to a hard 2-year limitations period. That happens in the Robinson case. It happens in the Osment case, which comes after that. It's mentioned in other cases as well, that you can modify it from a 10-year to a 2-year period. What opposing counsel wants to do is read the reasoning behind that and create a new rule out of that, so it's no longer a hard deadline. Instead, what Ms. Rose is arguing is that the deadline has to fluctuate depending upon how long the statute of limitations is for the underlying case. That's not what Robinson did. Robinson said, hey, what's a reasonable amount of time to bring a UIM claim? Well, we can go and look. A UIM claim is a lot like a negligence claim, and we can go and see what the Iowa legislature said about what a reasonable period of time is. And the Iowa legislature said a reasonable period of time to bring a negligence claim is 2 years. So we're going to say that's a reasonable amount of time to bring a UIM claim. And in fact, the actual holding of Robinson is, we hold it as reasonable as a matter of law for a UIM insurer to select the same two-year deadline from the date of the accident to file a UIM claim as the legislature prescribed for filing a personal injury claim.
So your argument then is that old Robinson was 4-3, was it not?
It was 4-3.
4-3, right? But they use a symmetry, asymmetry analytical framework.
That's
right?
Their reasoning to say a two-year statute of limitation is enforceable. Okay. The actual holding is a two-year deadline is reasonable. If you're an American Family and you read that, that tells you that you can have in your policy a two-year deadline. One other thing I want to note, and
can I finish?
Yeah.
And a thought adjacent. Under Young, the Nebraska case, is this a correct understanding of Young, that if the contract's not made in Nebraska, Young permits this court to look at Iowa would do?
Yes. So Avondale and Young, those are the two cases from the 1938 and 1942. So what those cases say is if you have a contract from another state, then you are required, and if that contract has a shorter time frame than the Nebraska statute of limitations,
and
you
that
are,
contract is not a Nebraska
correct,
contract.
Correct. Correct. You are required to, and if that state would enforce that provision, you are required to enforce it.
Thank you.
That's been Nebraska law for 85 plus years.
So under your analysis, there's no conflict.
There is no conflict. That's correct. Let me switch back to the Robinson analysis because I want to point out maybe two additional things there. So one thing to note is when the focus on what time period do we look to see what is reasonable? What is reasonable? And Robinson in the footnotes, it's footnote number one, tells us, and there had been some issue with this in Iowa law, and Robinson clarifies, we look at the time of contracting, right? We look at the time of contracting. And why that matters is it's when you, these contracts are being formed, you know Iowa insurers are on occasion going to leave the state. And five of the six states that surround Iowa have different limitations period for negligence claims. And so if Robinson thought it was necessary to have the built-in flexibility in a policy like what Mr. Chandler's arguing for, that would be not having that would be unreasonable at the time you entered into the contract. So implicitly, Robinson, by endorsing a two-year limitations period, means that that's enforceable even if you end up in a state with a different statute of limitations for your negligence claim. One other point there, this symmetry concept, Robinson is borrowing that from two other states, Ohio and Illinois. And each of those states, the cases Robinson cites, said, had adopted basically the Robinson rule. We have statute of limitations for negligence claims for 2 years. That's a reasonable period of time to also bring your UIM claim. Subsequently, both Illinois and Ohio addressed the exact same issue that Mr. Chandler has raised. Insureds were injured in different states, and they argued the statute of limitations is longer in those states, so therefore 2 years is no longer reasonable. Both of those states have rejected that argument. And that's important, again, because Iowa's leaned heavily upon those two states in this area of law, and that's indicative that Iowa would follow those two states if confronted with this issue.
Can I go back, and maybe I'm fundamentally not understanding you. Is there a choice of law question? Was it reasonable for the trial court to look at restatement on conflicts, or was it just merely this is an Iowa contract?
If Avondale Avondale and the subsequent Young, if they control this, that answers the question. There is no conflict. We look at Iowa law. If Iowa would enforce this two-year provision, Nebraska is bound to enforce it as well.
Is that consistent with the Johnson case, which is arguably younger?
So the Johnson case is the stacking case, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's not a statute of limitations issue. That's whether or not you can stack. So in the world of UIM, that's if you have one policy that's 50,000 and another UIM policy that's 50, do you get 100 or 50? Johnson says for that, for the purposes of that, that's a contract analysis and for choice of law.
And that's the significance of it. Yeah. This is contract.
Yeah, only you would only get there if you, yeah, for some reason said Avondale and Young don't apply here. Then the next inquiry would be,
thank you,
is there a conflict? Unless there's other questions, I think that covers what I intended to cover, and we would respectfully request that the court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we don't have any time left for rebuttal. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. You're all excused.